You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Share the show with your friends by having them visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Like biscuits in the oven, sometimes we rise, sometimes we just catch fire and burn to a crisp. All aboard the English Express.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today on the English Express Radio Podcast. It's going to be just me and you today. Brandon, my co-host, is still busy, so some of the things that I had planned for this show, I'm going to save for a little bit later because it's better as a conversation. But we do have a great show for you today. We'll start with a house. Do you guys own a house? For those of you listening, I've been a lot of places, done a lot of traveling. I've been in a lot of people's homes, and it's amazing to me how everyone's home is different depending on your culture. It's really amazing to me how much culture affects people's homes and where they live. In the past, I've traveled to Russia and been to all different parts of Russia, because you can't just say, oh, an American home is like this or a Russian home is like that, because so often it depends on what part of the country. For example, in America, if you go up to the northeast, New York, Boston, Pennsylvania, places like that, houses have a certain look to them, the architecture. If you go down to the south, Texas, Louisiana, houses look different as well. Same thing with Russia. I went, when I first moved to Russia, I had the chance to visit Siberia. For those of you who know Russian, Platskart. You know what a Platskart is. It's like a it's like bunk beds in a train car, and you travel down there, and people live in small little homes, places that I never thought I could live. But you know, I lived in Russia for 5 years, and believe me, if that's the way people are doing it, you can live in very, very small areas, as I learned. But how about big houses? You know, when we first moved to America with my family, my wife was against living in a house. And I live in a house now. I've got, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 bedrooms. I've got 2 living rooms in my house, 3 bathrooms. And my wife was like, that's insane. How on earth can you live in a house that big? I'd never have time to clean it. But that's because she had spent all her life in smaller homes and apartments and stuff like that. And now that we live here, it's great. But a truly big home, boy, I don't know how people live like this. This is a story about the most expensive home ever. Developer Bruce Makowski decided that he wanted to get into the specialty housing market. He says, you know, people build homes for rich people, but who's ever built a home for a billionaire? Well, nobody until now. Makowski has built and listed a $250 million mansion in Bel Air that, if it goes for that amount, it would be the most expensive home ever sold in the United States by literally tens of millions of dollars. Now, I don't know if you guys realize how expensive that really is. Because when you buy a home that's $250 million, you don't think about all of the things that go into that, because there's so many ongoing expenses that can't be foreseen. Like, you've got the heating bill, electricity, the staff. Because, come on, if you have a house like that, you got to get people to take care of the lawn, who to clean the windows. You've got like a thousand windows, your garden, you know, the trash. I mean, you've got to have a full-time staff just to operate. And so you have to have money to be able to do that. And what, are you going to have an empty house? Of course, you got to fill it full of stuff. So $250 million is only the beginning. And believe me, I own a home. The price that you pay for your home, it is only the beginning, because you keep putting stuff into it, the job never stops. Mikowski says the 38,000 square foot home reeks of quality. Now, 38,000 square feet, that's like 3,500 square meters. That's huge. That is a giant house. But he says it's the next best thing to heaven. He estimates that there are only maybe 3,000 people in the entire world who can afford the home, and he's already spoken to six of them. So he's got people who are interested. Here are just some of the features. 12 bedrooms. 12 bedrooms. What do you do with that many bedrooms? 21 bathrooms. Okay. You've got like three times as many bathrooms as you do bedrooms. I mean, what for? Three kitchens, five bars, a helipad, because, yeah, I mean, you have to have a helicopter. And, you know, you don't even have to buy a helicopter. It comes with a helicopter. And not just any helicopter. It comes with the helicopter from the helicopter from the television show Airwolf. I absolutely loved the television show Airwolf. The helicopter in that thing is like it's a black helicopter. It's awesome. If you haven't seen the 1980s television program Airwolf, you gotta check it out, because it's fantastic. So, as you're flying around in your Airwolf helicopter, you have $30 million worth of fancy cars, seven full-time staff members, prepaid for 2 years, so there you go, you got someone to take care of your house, $200,000 wall of candy. Your candy's gonna go bad before you ever actually get to eat it. The music, of course, is from Airwolf. What a great TV show. You've got a movie theater, but not just any movie theater. It's a James Bond movie theater with 40 seats, a pool with a swim-up bar, and a movie screen, so I guess you can watch a movie while you drink in the pool. 130 art installations. I mean, because if you got a house that big, you got to have art that you put in. A four-lane bowling alley with a fitness center, a spa, and a massage studio. Oh, that would be awesome. I love massages. A massage is the best thing this side of heaven. You get 12 motorcycles, two wine cellars, because one just isn't enough, and a 30-foot TV that is the biggest in any home in the world. I can only imagine what taxes and insurance are in that place. All of a sudden, my little four-bedroom house that I have, I'm okay with that. I don't even think I would want a place like this. This is just ridiculous. All right, let's do a Florida pile, shall we? He said Florida slowly sinking, sinking into the ocean. He said the housing tracks are built on half back and the rest half fiction. Just got two stories for you today. We're going to start with a 91-year-old Florida man who, I mean, come on, you know how old men are. I'm sure in any country it's the same way. They are grumpy and they don't want to take any kind of garbage from anyone, right? They like things just the way they are and they hope they never, ever change. Well, this guy is the same way, and he owns a home out in Florida. Looks like, it doesn't say what city he's in. Highlands County, though. He lives out in Highlands County, which is in, which obviously it's in Florida. Oh, Avon Park. That's a city, Avon Park. And he likes his house. He keeps it up. He has somebody mow the lawn, who takes care of the yard. And he hires somebody to do it. Obviously, you're 91 years old. You're not going to get out there and cut your own grass. So he's got his landscaper and finished cutting his grass. You know, out in Florida, I mean, it's wintertime for us in Colorado. But in Florida, it's pretty much warm all the time. So this guy cuts his grass, he puts it in the bag, and he's on his way to throw it into the trash. But as he's walking by Max Horton, that's the 91-year-old man, as he's walking by Max's 1987 pearl white Cadillac, he gets a little bit of grass on the car. Well, Max is looking out his window, and he comes, hey, you got some grass on my car. And I got to tell you, I don't appreciate that. He said, that's a Cadillac, son. That is the finest car ever manufactured. And now look at this. You got grass clippings all over it. And now you're going to have to die. That's right. You get grass on the man's Cadillac, and he is now threatening you with murder. And it's not a joke. He immediately pulled out a gun, which apparently he carries on him at all times, and he ordered the landscaper to get on his knees and put the gun in his mouth. Grass on a car, you guys. There's another landscaper who runs over immediately and distracted the 91-year-old Max, and the first guy gets up and runs. Of course, I mean, you're not going to sit around and wait for the gun. And this guy's not joking, because as he runs, he shoots at the landscaper. So he's shooting guns, you know, at him. And then he turns around and starts shooting at the second landscaper, the one who intervened. At some point, the first landscaper comes running back, and he knocks Max over, the 91-year-old man, knocks him to the floor, takes his gun, and the two of them are able to hold him down until the deputies arrived. In the meantime, he's still trying to kill him. The policeman pulls him up, takes him to the side, and says, come on, man, what are you doing here? You're trying to shoot at these guys? I love his answer. He says, anybody that messes with my Cadillac is going to find themselves in the grave. He tells police, those punks, they got lucky today. Those grass clippings may have ended up causing my car paint damage. So I'm going to sue those bastards for damages to my luxury automobile as soon as I get out of prison. Or I'm going to hunt them down and finish the job I started today. I mean, this guy ain't playing around. Shockingly, he's being held without bond on a first-degree murder charge at Highlands County Jail. So I sincerely doubt he's going to be getting out of jail anytime soon, for sure. Second story in the Florida pile today. Florida woman. Yeah, you know how women are. They tell you one thing, but they really mean another, right? Well, this woman, her name is Monica Feltzer, and she's 35 years old. She had a little bit of a problem with drinking. You know how it is with some women. Not all women, but everybody's knows someone who has a drinking problem. It's out there. It happens. Well, Monica, she only had about 6 Jaeger bombs at a bar. Oh, yuck. I hate Jägermeister. I don't know about you, but my favorite drink, I love rum and coke. Rum and coke is the best. It is the awesomest flavor in the world. And that some people out there, they drink to get drunk. I am not one of those people. I drink because I actually enjoy the flavor. And in fact, I would drink rum and coke just for the flavor, even if there was no alcohol in it at all, because for me, it's just that good. Well, Monica, she's not like that. She wants to get drunk, and so she only had about 6 Jaeger bombs. And that was all. She was just fine. Well, she got in the car, and she started to drive. It only took her a couple of blocks before, of course, she crashed right into the back of another car. And the other driver, told her, hey, you hit my car. I mean, she gets out, and he's like, what's going on here? But she goes, no, I didn't hit anything. And she immediately drives away. Well, of course, in that situation, you're going to follow her. So he jumps in the car real quick, follows her, calls the police, tells him where he's at, and the police end up getting to the scene, and they're able to stop her. She says, I'm not drunk, I'm fine. and she immediately refuses all sobriety tests. And you know, if you're going to refuse the sobriety test, you're probably smash drunk. That's ridiculous. So immediately they arrest her. They take her to the blood alcohol testing center and told her, and she told them, hey, you know, the situations where, you know, you're done, you know that you're screwed. And she goes, hey, listen, instead of taking me to jail, what if I just give you $1,000 and you just take me home? Well, of course, they turn that down. They're like, nah, I don't think so. And so they drag her in, they book her, and at the testing center, she tells an officer, I'm a witch and I'm going to kill you with a death spell. I can't even read that with a straight face. And she says, you better let me go or I'll cast a spell on you. Well, a couple more questions later, and she immediately jumps on the ground and tells deputies, you're going to have to drag me out of here and beat me. And her plan was she was going to try to claim police brutality. So she gets up, runs against the wall, and says, come on, beat me. I love getting beaten. Of course, she's not doing too well because she refused the breathalyzer test. They had to give her a blood test. They took her to a holding cell where she complained. The cell is dirty. Oh, yeah, because the police really care that your cells are dirty and the toilet is not clean. So she decided to use the restroom in her pants because the toilet is dirty, but going in your pants apparently isn't. She also told the police that she was a billionaire and she was going to have them fired and the police station shut down. I'm sure this will shock no one, but, she's not a billionaire. She's not a witch. And the police did not actually beat her down because she is insane. She faces charges of DUI, causing property damage, hit and run, and resisting an officer without violence. So at least she wasn't violent. You've got that on her side. But I've got a feeling she's going to go. She's going to be in jail for quite a while. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got The Love Pile here on the English Express radio podcast.
You're listening to the English Express radio program, flying by the seat of our pants. By the way, do you have an extra pair of pants we can borrow? All aboard the English Express.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express radio podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience mean she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Well, yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron. You're listening to the English Express Podcast. Don't touch that dial. You don't know where it's been. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome back to the English Express radio podcast. Of course, you can find us online at theenglishexpress.com. You can send us comments by email, info@theenglishexpress.com. Let's do a love pile. Love is in the air. Everyone wants love, right? Do you have a love? Are you in love? I've been married for for 6 years, and I'm definitely in love. Now, back when I was single, I gotta admit it, I used online dating services at now and then. I didn't meet my wife on online, but I did meet some people online, and as a matter of fact, I did have several long-term girlfriends who I had met online. But how do you know if somebody is worth spending time on or not? How do you know if a person's profile is true? I mean, for goodness sakes, people can make up anything they want. I mean, it may be true, it may not be true. But if you really want to know, you pay attention to the language in her profile. And it doesn't matter what language you speak, because a new research article has come out in the journal Evolutionary Psychology. And if a woman, this is for anybody, but if the person you're looking at, if their profile is all about themselves, they're more likely to want a casual fling, because they're talking about me. I like this. I am like that, you know. I'm interested in all of these different things. If their profile description is all about their own desires and wants and likes, they don't want anything serious. But on the other hand, someone who talks about what they want, like my perfect match would be this. I'm looking for a person who has these qualities. They're more invested in the search process, and they're thinking long term. So if you're on the hunt for somebody serious, you can look for particular buzzwords. Like, for example, if they say, I want someone loyal or a good listener, it can indicate that they want something more than, you know, a one-night stand. On the other hand, maybe you're looking for a one-night stand, so now you know how to find it. Check out. They've got dating sites in other countries, right? I mean, I only know English, so I've only looked on English websites. But who knows? All right. Now, women love purses, right? Purses, jewelry, stuff like that, clothes. What else do women like? Yeah, see, jewelry, clothes, purses. Yep, that's about it. That describes women pretty much to a T there. But it might not be only, I mean, I'm sure everyone loves that new leather smell. Oh, man, I love leather. Have you ever bought, like, a brand new wallet, or, you know, if you're a woman, bought a purse, and you just open it up and you smell it? It's such a great scent. One of the greatest in the world. But that's not the only reason that women love wonderful, well-built bags. Other women may view your relationship as more committed and be less inclined to chase you if so what they're saying is, if, let's say I buy my wife a Prada bag, right? Those are expensive. It costs money. So other women see that and they say, oh, her husband or her boyfriend must really love her. He spent money on an expensive purse. So they're less likely to go ask out the boyfriend. On the other hand, if a woman has a cheap purse, chances are he's going to be hit on at work or elsewhere, because he thinks, he doesn't like that woman. He bought her a crappy purse. He didn't even buy her something expensive. So maybe their relationship isn't that serious. And so if you want to protect your man, ladies, get an expensive bag so that people can see how much he loves and cares about you. Last, today, wedding mistakes. How many of you guys are married? Have you ever been married? How about divorced? Thank God. God, I've never been divorced. I've been married for 6 years to the same woman. I got a couple of kids. And God help me, I hope that that's the last wife I ever have to get. And Everybody thinks about this. You've heard the statistics. What is it? 50% of all marriage end in divorce. So if you get married, it's like the flip of a coin, right? I mean, why even take the risk? But it may not be that simple. A new study has looked at recently married and divorced Americans. And these are people who were married recently, 2008 or later, so in the last 10 years. And they wanted to get into the other factors that lead to a divorce because, I mean, what's causing it? It's not just out of nowhere. That happens sometimes, but it's normally for a reason. And so they looked at things like how long the couple dated before they got engaged, how much money they made, other things like that. And the fact is, there are a ton of different pieces at play when it comes to divorce. And you can't just say marriages are doomed, but it does turn out that some marriages are more doomed than others. For example, how much did you spend on your ring? Or how much did your husband or boyfriend or whatever spend on the ring that he bought you? Well, it looks like spending too much on a diamond ring or too much on your wedding can make it much more likely that you're going to end up in a divorce down the line. Here's a couple of factors. Time spent dating. If you dated, let's say, 3 or more years before you got engaged, well, it looks like you're 40% less likely to get divorced. So, yeah, I think I was dating my wife for about 7 months before we got engaged, and it was another 6 months before we got married. So once we actually got married, we had been together for just a little bit over a year. So apparently, that's not looking good for us, but hey, at least we lasted 6 years, right? And hopefully a lot more. But dating longer is obviously a better situation. But if you date less than a year, so we got at least a year, but if you go less than a year, you're 40% more likely to get a divorce. Going to church. If you go to church regularly, and it doesn't matter what religion, but it basically says, like, you believe the same things. So if you believe the same things and you go to the same groups, it doesn't necessarily have to be church, it could be whatever. But if you're doing the same things together, you're more likely to stay together. And of course, money. Money always makes a difference. In U.S. dollars, if you're making over $125,000, you're 50% less likely to get a divorce, so you're probably going to stay together. But if you make less than $25,000, oh man. Money is a big stress and a major cause of problems. So make more money and you're going to have a happier marriage. Last couple reasons here. In fact, speaking of reasons, why did you marry your spouse? If you married your partner for looks, you know, if beauty is all you care about, divorced. Did you marry for money? Divorce. Either way, it's not a rosy picture. You should be with somebody for love, you dummy. You always marry for love. If they've got good, it's okay to have standards. I didn't want, like, an ugly wife or, you know, somebody who was stupid. It's okay to have standards, but you have to have the love. You can't marry somebody only for, you know, one of these stupid reasons. And if you have a big wedding, this is a huge one. If you have more than 200 people at your wedding, you're 92% less likely to get a divorce. So it's good to have a lot of people. I didn't have that many. According to this thing, I think I should be divorced already. But, yeah. And if you have a honeymoon, I did have a honeymoon. At least we did that. We went to Tunisia, which was a blast. I love Tunisia. It was before they went like all crazy out there. You know what I mean? With all of the, what was it? Like all the rioting in the streets. That happened right after I went there. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going back to Tunisia. But when I went there, it was calm, wonderful. Didn't have any problems. So hopefully that helped you. Think about it before you get married. Pay attention to your spouse and don't get a divorce. Divorces are nasty. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Next week, we will have Brandon with us, which will be a good thing. In the meantime, have a great week. See you guys next time.
hitting nails, drinking gunpowder soup, and listening to the English Express full blast.
All aboard the English Express.